You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ma! Guess what? It's true. I know this is shocking news to regular listeners to the program. Steve Mason's taking a day off. I know that that is a big shock, but we are amply covered by our great friend Ramona Shelburne, who is always nice enough to answer our... Most people, when Mason and I call them, don't answer the phone. But Ramona, thank God you do.
Well, you send Lindsay after me, you know. Hey,
right.
Hey,
well, Lindsay is us. Lindsay is our representative to the world. And speaking of Lindsay, Lindsay's here. Jorge's here. Lindsay, you know that this is all your fault, right?
What's all my fault?
That Mason's not here. You know why?
No, I don't know why.
All right. Now, Ramona will agree with me on this. Follow me here.
Okay.
Okay. So, Mason, yesterday we're just going through the show, doing it. And Lindsay's doing Radio Tinder, which is like the most popular thing on the show. And she has a story about how Howard Stern just got $500 million from Sirius, but he's taking the entire summer off.
Whoa.
And Lindsay, the minute you introduced that story, I should have texted you because I wrote it down. I said, there's no way Mason's talking about it. There is no... Now that you have put that into the ether... That you have suggested that, wait a minute, somebody's taken more time off than me? No, Mason's like hyper competitive about stuff like that. And the minute he heard Howard Stern is getting an entire summer off, this is what went through his head. Entire summer? Well, what the hell am I doing here? I'm as big as Howard Stern. I'm not working tomorrow. And that's how we end up
with
Ramona.
My fault. And only Mason would think, you know, he has an ego big enough to compare himself to Howard Stern.
But you know what? And Ramona will back me up on this, too. Uh-huh. It's what makes Mason work, is that he is so nuts that, and his ego is great for the show. Yep. You know, like, he always likes to say, and he repeats it on every show, I'm the smartest person on the show. You guys all know that anybody who says that about anything is incredibly insecure. If you have to keep announcing to the world you're the best at something, you probably aren't. But I think he just feels like if he keeps saying it, he's like LeVar Ball. He's going to will it into existence. But like most people think about LeVar, Mason's a little nuts and in a good way. So that's why the show's good. But
I want to tell you something, though, John. The entire time that you were talking, all I can think is I'm not supposed to say
I like it when you do that. It lets us all know you're still there.
I know, but do you know how hard it is for me to control myself now? Like, now that you've made me super aware, hyper aware of it, like, you guys totally put me on blast, right?
I don't think you should change it at all. I think it's your thing. It's like me when I do games and in the middle of the game, if some guy gets hot, I'll just yell, why not?
Why not?
I'm
literally, the whole time you're talking, I'm like... Don't say it. Don't do it.
No, I like
don't
it.
Don't
do
it,
Momo. Go ahead and do it.
I'm kind of waiting for it, actually.
It's kind of like torture not to do it, because now that's all I can almost not even pay attention to what you're saying, because I'm hyper aware that I'm supposed to not say
I'm speaking into existence.
There you go, LeVar. Thank you. So, man, by the way, Lindsay.
Yeah.
You need to get somebody for tomorrow. This has 4-day weekend written all over it.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah. Momo, are you available tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm available.
All right, okay, good.
Yeah, I'm counting on it. To be honest, I already know.
I probably need you.
You were supposed to say, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No,
I'm trying not to say it. It's really hard.
Okay, so we'll get to everything. The Dodgers open a big series in Washington. They're going to try and slow down the red-hot Kyle Schwarber. The Trevor Bauer story is developing. We're keeping an eye on that. And if anything changes, we'll let you know. But the big story today, the Clippers season has come to an end. And Ramona, you and I are two members of the media.
Yeah.
And this is rare. And you know, I might get in trouble with some people for saying this, but I don't hate the Clippers. I've never hated them.
I don't get it. Like, John, I don't understand the hate.
I respect them.
They played really good this year. Like, you're from LA and you're a Laker fan, and the Lakers have all these titles, and they're what do you have to prove? Like, so if they got to the Western Conference Finals once, that doesn't knock the Lakers off any kind of pedestal. My goodness.
Well, here's where I'll draw the line. I one of the reasons why I rooted for the Clippers occasionally was I really like Ty Lue. I liked him when he played for the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
We almost got him as our coach.
Yep.
They were pretty far down the road negotiating, and Ty just didn't like the terms of the deal. And so he walked away. By the way, same with Monty Williams. Monty Williams walked away. And then Frank, you know, it must have been hard for those two guys to watch Frank Vogel win the title last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now a year later, they're the two people competing for the title. So I'm kind of glad it worked out for all three of them. Here's where I'll separate. I don't dislike the Clippers. I don't agree with Ty Lue that you can ask Laker fans to root for the Clippers. I don't think they will. I just think that Laker fans are going to root for the Lakers.
Well, let me tell you something. Do you know who was at the game last night? Mike Trout. I saw Mike Trout in the stands.
Somebody sent me a picture of that.
Yeah, that was me. I sent it to you.
Oh, okay, yeah. He didn't even have great seats.
I was like, can we get Mike Trout some courtside seats? My goodness. Like I walked over there. He was sitting right in front of Spencer Dinwiddie was there. And I go, hey, Spencer, do you know who that is behind you? And he was like, what? And I go, that's like the greatest baseball player alive, right? Sitting right behind you.
Maybe ever.
Maybe ever. And he was so inconspicuous, just like sitting there with a buzz cut. He had like a mohawk kind of. He was sitting like 5-6 rows up. And I was like, come on, man. We got to put Mike Trout in the front row. What are we doing here? But but anyway, it kind of got me thinking, like, nobody hates the Angels. Like, if you're a Dodger fan, do you hate the Angels? Like, when the Angels won the World Series, did you hate them?
Okay, so Ramona, but let me ask you this. Answer this honestly.
Yeah.
Do you think most people in the city of Los Angeles today are happy or sad that the Clippers are out?
I think most people are happy.
I do too.
That sucked, man. Like, that was real. They were a great team to watch. If you can just watch them objectively, that was a very good run that they put on. Great performances, like Reggie Jackson. Wasn't that a great story? Like, this guy.
Well, yeah, it's easy to knock the Clippers because now they're out. But this is the best Clipper team ever. You know,
absolutely.
They made it to the Western Conference Finals for the first time. I've said all along that if the Lakers had a healthy LeBron and a healthy AD, they'd still be playing. I think if they had a healthy Kawhi, they'd still be playing.
Yeah.
But now there's so much to talk about. For example. Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Yesterday I said on the show, if Chris Paul loses to the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, it will hang around his neck forever. What happened is the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul, with an opportunity to put himself and his team in the finals for the first time in his career, came up absolutely huge. It's one of the rare times in sports where a guy not only met the moment, he exceeded it.
Yep.
And so, Ramona, you and I have covered the league pretty much his entire career. Is that the best game of Chris Paul's Hall of Fame career?
Yeah, the only other one I would say, he had a great game 7 in a playoff series against
the Spurs. Where he
threw
in a bank shot.
That was up there. But like, in terms of Western Conference Finals, the Clippers were getting back into that. I was at the game. They were getting back into it. Paul George had kind of been, like, everybody was on E. Like, they were just
right.
Just totally gassed. They had not much left. And I had this feel, I kept saying to Sam Amick, who was sitting next to me at the game, I go, you know, he's just saving it. Like, they're just saving whatever they have left for the fourth quarter. He's going to play the entire second half. They have to keep it within 10. And then Paul George is going to turn it on. And like, whatever he's got left, he's going to leave it out there. Right. And they started to do it. Like, you felt the run coming, and Chris Paul was out of the game. The Clippers cut the lead to 7. The crowd was going nuts. They put Chris Paul in, and he goes on the personal, I think it was 12-1 run at the end of the quarter.
Yeah, but he had 31 points in the second half.
Well, that's what Paul George had done the other night in Phoenix. 31 of his 41 points in the second
half.
Just
a monster performance when the spotlight was absolutely
and
the
it was
brightest.
Right when the Clippers were making their run. Like, they were cutting, they had it to 7. It was
okay,
they were getting there, and then Chris Paul was like, nope.
All right. So, you know, in golf, there's always a thing. Who's the best player who hasn't won a major? Best player never to win a major. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul has had the title for quite some time.
Oh, yeah.
As the best player ever, never to make it to the finals. I think there's a clear person that now assumes that mantle. Do you know who I'm thinking? Best
Paul
player
George?
Never to make it to the finals.
Paul George?
He could pass the guy up, I'm thinking. But I think it's Steve Nash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't Steve Nash now hold the title of best player never to make it to the finals? Now, if Paul George continues to grow, he may be that guy.
Active, yeah, I thought you were thinking current players.
Active,
yeah.
I think he probably is that guy. But here's an amazing stat. The All-NBA team, they do a first, second, and third team. 15 guys. Five guys on the first team, five on the second, five on the third. Did you see this? How many of the 15 made it to the playoffs without getting hurt?
Mm-mm. How many?
One.
Wow.
Paul George. He's the only
guy
of the 15 people who made All-NBA this year who didn't get hurt in the postseason. So, having said all those nice things about the Clippers, Ramona, they missed a tremendous opportunity here.
They really did.
The Lakers were out. The Nets were out. They had an opportunity here. Could they have, you know, pulled it off to put themselves in the finals and maybe win it for the first time ever? I think they're going to look back on this as the one that got away.
This is, you know, the year when Michael took his sabbatical and the Rockets won.
Yeah, it was about a year and a half, right.
Right? So Michael Jordan took a sabbatical and he went and played baseball. Remember that?
Right, in 94 and 95 and the Rockets
won both. And it was like,
that
was all the players of that era who couldn't get past Jordan. So we're talking Stockton and Malone, you know, the Rockets guys, the Knicks, the, you know, all those teams that always kept running up against Michael Jordan and the Bulls. That was everybody's moment. That was your chance to get a title in there. And the Rockets got two titles, 93 and 94. They got it, right? They won those titles. So Hakeem and all those guys in the Rockets, they won it. If you're the Jazz, like, that was your moment. Like, if you were ever going to get a title in there,
so I think
when
Clippers...
Michael was out, like, that was when you could do it, and they missed it. And so I think, I don't know that the Clippers can, you know, like, they wouldn't, who knows what happens next year, right? Maybe they'll get right back. But from what I saw from Brooklyn, when those three guys are healthy, even if two of the three are healthy, from what I see from the Lakers when AD and LeBron are healthy.
And remember, the Lakers went into Brooklyn and smacked them around.
Yeah. Yeah.
The leg. So I think you're right. I think both those teams come back full strength next year. Now, you're the perfect person to ask because you cover the whole league and you pay attention to this stuff. Ramona, Kawhi Leonard has been healthy once in the last four playoff seasons. Mm. He was unbelievable. He led Toronto to the title as the best player, won finals MVP.
Yep.
But he's been healthy one time. Even knowing that, is there any reason to believe that he won't be on the Clippers next year?
No.
He's going to opt out of his contract, right? To probably get a better,
longer-term
deal? I
think that's
right.
I think that's how it works, yeah. Because they can offer him. I don't know if he actually has to. Yeah, I think he has to opt out. Look, this is how this is going to go with Kawhi. Nothing will happen for, like, 2 weeks, and we'll all be like, oh, it's going to happen with Kawhi, and then he'll just quietly sign the extension. Like, he'll do it on his own time. He's not concerned about the rest of free agency. He's not concerned about the rest of the league. He'll just do it whenever the heck he feels like it. I would be totally surprised if he goes anywhere. The only team I could even make a realistic case for him to go to would be the Knicks. That's the one. The Knicks are maybe Miami. Maybe I could make that case of, like, okay, watch that. But I don't see him taking meetings, John. Like, do you see that? Like, him going around?
Well, I just can't tie any player to the Lakers.
But
Kawhi is so different than any other player. Yeah. He doesn't have an agent. He doesn't really talk. I can't say anything would be surprising. Here's my thought. I think the Clippers lock him up and they come back with Ty Lue and a healthy team and they make a run. I'll say this too, Ramona. I know this narrative's out there that Damian Lillard could ask out of Portland. I think Damian Lillard plays for the Blazers next year, don't you?
Yes, but I'm less sure of that than I was.
Really? Okay, we can get okay, we can get into that a little bit.
Well, because I mean, I don't know, John. I just saw some people at the Sparks game last night. I'm just gonna say that there was like some guys and ladies who were all in Space Jam together, and then they just popped up at the Sparks game right next door to the Clipper game last night, and it's all photographed.
Okay. Well, so we can get into Ramona's thoughts on that, and also. Coming up, how can you tell if someone is lying?
Oh.
Are you good at that? Can you sniff out a liar? We'll get into that coming up. Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, today...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is Momo in Ireland, Mason taking another day off. we're talking about what happened last night with the Clippers. I personally think Kawhi Leonard comes back next year. I think even if he opts out of his deal, and this is just a guess, but I think the Clippers offer him the max. I think it's 4 years, 176. Is that risky, Ramona, with his injury history, or is it just he's too good not to give it to him?
You have to give it to him. It is risky, like especially considering – you know, the knee injury he has is on the same leg, the right leg, that he had all those quad problems. And the quad problem is kind of like it's a quad, but it's sort of the quadriceps is what connects to your knee. So it's all kind of related. Right. So it's like that whole area. You know, that's what he's always managing. He's always load managing that. But like, well, it's Kawhi Leonard. You have to do it. I don't know how you have a choice in that. I mean, maybe you could try to put in some injury provisions like the Sixers did with Joel Embiid way back in the day, but do you want to take a chance on Kawhi not liking that and then going someplace else?
Yeah, I think guess is that they bring the whole band back and run it again next year. Now, I also think that about Dame Lillard. I think Dame is coming back with Portland. You're not so sure why.
Well, I think he is too. If I was betting on it, I would say 80-90% he's back with Portland, right? Okay. But I if you would ask me 2-3 weeks ago, I would have said 100%. Like, right. I just think, just knowing Dame, I think loyalty, playing your whole career. He loves the fact that Kobe was a Laker his whole career. He loves Portland. He loves Dirk Nowitzki being in Dallas. So he wanted to be one of those guys. So I don't think you just give up on that right away. I think they need to, what he really wants is to just have a better path towards winning in Portland, and they can't run back that same cast. They can't, the construction of that team, even though it looks like it should be good, it just hasn't worked. So he just needs to see what they're going to do. And you know, as soon as you heard, you know, any rumblings of him being upset, every superstar in the league has started to talk to him. Like, everybody's recruiting Dame.
Right.
Every team that hasn't. Once there's a crack, everybody's been recruiting him. So Once that starts, like, you just don't know where that goes. Now, the question for the Blazers is, I don't think Dame's ever going to say, I want to trade, because Portland is really important to him. That connection is really important to him. So I think things settle down. They smooth it over. Chauncey's great at stuff like that. Like, you know, Chauncey never wanted to be on the Clippers, and then he got talked into it by Neil Olshay, who's the GM up there. And he said, you know, we're going to get you Chris Paul. We're going to do this trade. And then they did the Chris Paul trade, and that worked out really well. And I think, you know, that's really Chauncey's biggest task right now is convince Dame to stay. Just convince Dame that you got a plan here and you're going to work it out. And I think that's why Neil Olshay was so focused in on Chauncey, is just like, he knows how good Chauncey is in those kind of moments. And that is... That's his task. Like, I think he'll convince him. I think he'll get Dame back in the fold, and they'll just have to do some things to change the roster around a little bit. I don't know what they can do, though. That's the question, right? Like, Nurkic is a free agent. Dame's locked into a long-term deal. CJ's locked into a long-term deal. Like, so that probably means a trade. CJ would be probably the most likely guy you could trade. I guess you could do a trade for Nurkic, like a sign-in trade or something. But those are good players. I mean, there's you don't just trade guys like that. They're really good players. So I would say it's a question of could, you know, who's going to recruit Dame the best? To stay in Portland, Chauncey and Neil and everybody in Portland to get him to stay? Or every other superstar in the league who's not in the finals right now calling him, trying to get him to come play for them?
Okay, changing subjects. Are you good at sniffing out when someone is lying to you, when you're being played? Or do you tend to be more on the gullible side?
I tend to be more on the gullible side.
Me too.
I'm gullible.
Me too.
You know why? Because I always think I'm a positive person. I think the best of people. And so I've learned over the years. I mean, literally, this is my job, John. I'm supposed to be good at like detecting when people are lying. And I'm not that great at it because I tend to believe people.
You're like me. So, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt until I get burned by them. And then I never trust them again. Mm-hmm. Mark Cuban just did an interview, the owner of the Mavericks, just did an interview with Men's Help. And he says there are signs when someone is BSing you. And Cuban says one of the signs is they make big, bold, profound statements. And then when I ask for data, they make circular references. Like they'll say, there was a study at MIT that concluded this. And I'll always ask them for details on the study. Was it peer-reviewed? Give me some data points. And when they don't have them, I know that they just made the study up. He says he also looks out for people who, and you know, he's sniffing these people out when he's on Shark Tank, trying to decide whether or not he's going to invest in their companies. Cuban said he also looks out for people who try and make their patent or even a pending patent out to be the sign of a great product when in reality, it's anything but. He says that's especially true when people are pitching supplements. Here's what Cuban said, quote, one of the all-time ridiculous go-tos of the supplement industry is to talk about the patent they've applied for. They'll make it sound profound. We have a patent pending for this supplement. They're trying to send the message that it must be important if it's patentable. But Ramona, he's got a good point here. Anybody can apply for a patent on anything. I can apply for a patent on my flying tennis shoes. Uh-huh. And I can say I have a patent pending. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So if you hear people trying to sell you something that isn't already in the marketplace, or somebody trying to tell you something that doesn't already exist, it's a good sign. I've also found, like I was giving Mason a hard time off the top of the show when he says, I'm the smartest person in the room. That's one of those big, bold, profound statements that Cuban's talking about. If you are the smartest person in the room, or if you are the best at something, you probably don't need to say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
It will be inherent. But it's interesting. I'm like you. I trust people until they give me a reason not to. Mm-hmm. And I think I could be better at that. I should look at things with more of a suspicious mind.
Yep.
Lindsay, are you good? Is it easy to BS you, or are you pretty good at sniffing it out?
I think it's like my sixth sense.
Really?
I always thought that I could be like, I'd be a really good detective. I swear, I get gut feelings, and 99% of the time they're right.
Do you act on them? Do you trust your instincts?
I would say like 70% of the time, because I try to see the good in people, but I have to admit, I'm super skeptical, and I feel like I do not trust very many people. I'm the opposite of you guys. Like, people have to earn my trust. I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think it's interesting, especially for you, Ramona, at being a reporter.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that, like, have you ever been, like, burned by trusting people?
Oh, yeah. Good thing I don't publish it, though. Like, that's the thing. It's like,
right. Ramona, you don't have to say what it is, but have you ever reported something that someone told you and then realized after you reported it that he was just playing you to get it out there?
Yes. But I will say this, that was early in my career, and it was like an agent, and it was like a total spin job, and I just didn't see it. And now I'm much better. When I deal with agents, I'm much better at seeing that. Cause I think
it happened to me once. I was filling in on First Take.
Yeah.
This is back when Skip Bayless was on First Take.
Yeah.
And Phoenix, of all teams, had fired their coach and was looking for a head coach.
Yeah.
And an agent called me and said, hey, they should hire this guy, and gave me like six reasons why. He goes, it's a complete natural fit. I think it's going to happen. And so I went on First Take. I said, here's a candidate. And I gave the, I kind of parroted what the agent told me. Yeah. And afterwards, somebody who works for the Suns called me, goes, you just got completely played.
Yeah.
We ruled that guy out 3 weeks ago.
Oh God. Yeah.
Went, oh God. Yeah. So it can happen. It can happen.
It have, I mean, it was just like, it's literally their job to spin us, literally their job. And so there's certain people now, like I'm a way more savvy than I ever used to be, but I think it's more in my professional life that I've become more savvy. Cause I've just had it happen to me enough where I'm like, okay, I see what they're doing. And, you know, and I try not to hold
it. But it's more in your personal life. Like you trust your friends.
All
right. Speaking of that, coming up, we're going to spin the wheel. Have you done this yet, Ramona? Spin the wheel with the book of questions.
Like, I'm freshman
and I've got a hard one. It'll apply to all four of us will answer. I've got a moral dilemma that that it will put all of you on the spot. Ramona Shelburne is in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. We're loaded today. We're going to talk about the Dodgers coming up. Lindsay's got Radio Tinder. It's all still to come. Mason in Ireland, 710 ES.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, Momo in Ireland today. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. We're going to get to book of questions in a second. We got a breaking news story, Ramona. The NFL has announced that they have fined the Washington football team $10 million after an investigation into their workplace culture. You'll remember this was the Washington Post article that said they were selling access to the cheerleaders and they were, you know, they had a huge problem with misogyny and men just basically, you know, mistreating women in the workplace. So the NFL did an investigation, apparently found some of that to be true, and fined them $10 million. I'm going to tell you why I don't like it. $10 million is a lot of money to me and you. It's not to the Washington football team.
Yeah.
It's the way you get the attention of an owner of a football team is not to fine him $10 million because he's got that in his couch cushions. The way you do it is, if it was serious, if this was egregious enough for you guys to fine them, stick them without a draft pick. Figure out if it was super bad, take the first round pick. If it was less, take a second, a third, a fourth. Do something to punish them on the field. That would get their attention, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird because on the one hand, I'm like, you're right. That would absolutely get their attention more than money. But I just keep flashing back on the Donald Sterling case, right? It's like, you just...
Right, which you know well. You did a whole podcast series.
Yeah, I mean, look, like they can do whatever they could have done all those slaps on the... Sterling wouldn't have cared about a draft pick. I mean, he would have, but like, he wasn't going to change him.
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, right. But the $10 million doesn't affect them competitively.
Right.
So that's, you know, but you'll be reading and hearing a lot about it today. Yep. I'm sure everybody will be giving an opinion on it. But that's the news. The NFL fines Washington $10 million after an investigation into workplace culture. Okay. Jorge, you got the wheel? Let's see what it comes up on. Ooh, okay. This is the one I wanted.
Uh-oh.
All right. You guys, okay, so this we'll ask everybody this. You go out with your spouse for dinner at a new restaurant you have not frequented before. It is in a part of town you rarely visit. You are shocked to see one of your good friend's spouses having dinner with a very young, attractive person.
Oh.
The way they are behaving, it is obvious they are more than friends. The couple finishes their meal and leaves without seeing you.
Oh, boy.
They behave very affectionately on the way out the door. How do you handle it? Do you tell your friend? Do you confront the cheating spouse? Do you do nothing? Ramon, I'll tell you before you answer, this has happened to me.
Oh.
So I'm going to go last, and I'll tell you how I handled it. but what would you do?
I would take pictures and I would send it to my friend.
All right. So you're telling me you and Nevin go out to dinner.
Yep.
You live in the Valley, so let's say you're down in the
South.
I might even go up to,
it kind of depends on which friend it is.
All right, like, let's say it's me. Let's say it's me.
And I see
and
your
you
wife
see
out.
Lisa, and it's obvious that she is not just friends.
Damn. Do you take pictures of her and send them to me?
You do.
Yes.
Realizing that it may end our friendship. Yeah, but it may end our friendship because I would probably let her convince me that nothing was going on and then I can't be friends with you anymore.
That's okay.
All right, Lindsay.
You deserve to know the truth. Lindsay, what would you do? Yeah.
Depending on the friend, I would.
Let's say it's me.
I would tell my friend.
You would tell me. Lindsay, you would tell me.
I would because I know what it feels like, and that sucks. And I know people who know and like knew and didn't tell me, and I just would, you know, I've been the other shoe on the other foot, whatever the reference is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I would definitely say something.
Jorge, how do you play it?
Okay, so I would tell my friend, but I would casually walk by them and be like, hey, Chris, how you doing, man? Or hey,
you would out them and let them know you were there. That's like smart. There.
Yeah.
Cause that's true. Then that gives them a chance to tell you before, you know, confronted with the evidence.
Now you're in their head too.
Okay. So this happened to me.
I think, though, I will say if it's like a really, really good friend, like my best girlfriend, I would 100% go up to the guy and confront him and be like, hey, who's your friend here? Where's Amanda tonight?
Right. Put him in an embarrassing situation to get with.
So, go ahead. Tell your story. And then, John, I have a personal one, too. Yeah.
Here's how I handled it. I had a good friend, fellow sportscaster. This was years ago, 20 years ago. And I had heard rumors, and I was at his wedding, so I know his wife, and I had heard rumors that he was messing around with a certain person.
Okay.
And then I saw it for myself. He didn't know I saw it. And I called him and I said, hey, what I'm about to tell you is going to affect our friendship moving forward, but, I feel that I'm doing the right thing.
Right.
A lot of people are talking that you're having an affair.
Yeah.
You know who it's with. If you are, it's not very secret and you're not handling it well and your wife is going to find out. So you need to get your house in order. And I thought that was going to be the end.
Yeah.
And what he said to me is, I appreciate you coming to me like this. I can tell you're coming to me as a friend and I will handle it. He didn't handle it, and they're no longer married. But I got it off my chest by telling him.
So it's slightly different, though, because in your scenario, that's your friend that you're talking to.
Right.
The difference would be is that, like, you saw his wife out with somebody having an affair. And then
if I did that, I think Lindsay's plan is the one. Walk right up to the table and go, hey, how are you? What are you doing here? Who's your friend? Bubba, that's like saying, hey, look, I've seen you. I know what you're up to, and you better get it together.
Right. I'll tell you mine was, it was not one of my friends. It was one of my husband's friends. Okay.
Okay.
And I knew what was going on. Like his friend was, you know, messing around.
Cheating.
And I was like, well, I do kind of want to say something. Like I do. I don't want to condone this. But it's not my friend, and that, you know, even though I knew the wife and I knew all that, and I was like, it's just not my place. Like, I just can't, right? And so I didn't say anything because it was not my friend.
Right.
That makes sense. Even though I knew them, I was like, no. And then it ended up where they got divorced and, you know, it was not going to happen, right? But it was
it probably wasn't going to affect the outcome. But
I felt like if it's my friend and I'm loyal to my friend, like it's a girlfriend, guy, friend, whatever. I think I would tell my friend. Confronting them in public, I guess it kind of depends on how close you are with the spouse.
Right.
Like if you know them, like, okay, have you been out on a double date with them? Or have you just kind of been at a party and seen them? Right. Like if it was Lisa, like I
knew
I know
them
her.
Both. I knew them both.
Yeah.
I knew like when I knew this guy and I knew his wife. And
I like Lisa a lot. I might actually
tell her.
Yeah. But like the truth is like you really are like you and I have been friends for, you know, 10 years.
Wait,
right.
I was going to say
I would tell you.
Would you really? you would out John to Lisa.
Oh no! You're saying like I see Lisa well, out with the guy. Well, that's the way you're saying it, right?
That would make it okay. So Ramona, what if you saw me out with another woman? How would you handle that?
Oh, okay, that's different. I think I would confront you
wouldn't.
Personally.
I would not say anything. No way.
So Ramona, you'd come
okay,
up.
Okay, so I thought it was you saying that.
No,
I see
well, it
your
could
wife
be anything.
Out.
I mean, we're asking about all possibilities.
It's a little different,
here. Right?
Yeah.
It makes it harder
I would,
if
I
it's
would
me.
Do what you did with your friend. I would basically.
You would call me the next day and say, "Hey, if you think you're getting away with something, you're not."
Yeah, I would do that. I wouldn't take pictures and send it to Lisa though.
Yeah.
No, sorry, Lisa. Sorry. I like her a lot.
We have no
I would go directly to you.
But,
I would. Yeah. I know. Me too.
It is a hard question. If you know or you suspect, because if you suspect that your friend's spouse is cheating, and you go to him and you're wrong,
right? Oh, then you're in trouble.
Then that's it. The friendship's over. Because
I have other ones like you know, let's say it's not even just like let's say it's a player and an agent or something.
Right.
And I know like. Oh, that's not his agent. Why are they, you know, like that? You see that and you're like, oh, maybe something's up there. Huh? Oh, okay. And it's kind of depends, you know, like, should I report on it? Should I call? Like, as a reporter, you're like, I need to report on that. I need to find out what's going on there. But also, like, I don't want to narc on somebody, right? You know, there's a sort of like.
Wait, I have a good one for both
of you. And what if I'm
guys.
Wrong, you know?
What right, if, what like, it? Your closest coworker, like, for you, for example, Ireland, like, what if you saw Mason out on another job interview with like the rival radio station? You'd call him and be like, hey, what's up, right?
Yeah, because there's no way. Yeah, there's no way he would tell me first. No. So I would call him and ask him what he's doing.
I may not. But for you guys, it's different because you guys are like the Mason in Ireland show, so that would like totally affect you.
Right.
But if I saw like, I don't know, it's just Brian Windhorst or Zach Lowe, one of my good colleagues, right? I would get up in their business. I would just let them handle their thing. Like, I figure people, if they want to confide in me or if they want to workshop something with me, cool. Like, I've had that, you know, a lot of friends over the years when they leave a job or they're considering a job, like, they call you and say, what do you think, you know?
Right.
And you have to just be really, you know, trustworthy, confidential, like you would want them to do if you did that, you know?
Right. And yeah, it's interesting.
I had that happen to me one time. I'll tell you, I'll go real details. Okay. Yeah. So one time when I was at the Daily News, I was real early in my career and I got a call from the LA Times and they said, you want to come down for an interview? We have a couple of jobs that we're hiring for and we think you're great. Da, 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 da. And I was like, you know, early 20s. So I'm like, yeah, all right. LA
were,
Times.
Were you
cool.
under contract to the Daily
no,
News?
No, just at will, just at will employee.
See, because if I got that call, I'm under contract to ESPN and cannot even talk to other people while I'm under contract.
Yeah, me too. So, but I was just an at-will employee.
Right,
like you're just on staff.
So you weren't doing anything illegal. It was just a little immoral.
I don't even know if it's immoral. Is it immoral? Like, I think, you know, you work one place and come for an interview. I mean, it is the rival.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I went down there for an interview. And it was like I went down to the Times building and I met with them. And it was, you know, I thought it went well. And like literally within hours, I get a call from my boss. Hey, so when were you going to tell me about the Times? And I was like, oh.
Didn't think I
should. I wasn't, actually. Yeah. Like, the truth is, I wasn't. And it was like, and it was like.
Everybody that thinks so they're getting away with something rarely is getting away with something.
Well, and it's not like, I didn't even think I was doing anything wrong. I was like, well, I'm 24 or whatever it is, like when the rival paper called. But the truth is, if you set foot in the rival newspaper's building, like it was sort of like everybody's
somebody's
gonna
notice. Yep, somebody's gonna notice. Yeah, yeah, you probably
you
probably should have insisted to meet offsite, but you can't calling the shots when you're a young reporter.
Remember that question when you asked me earlier, am I gullible or am I
there you go.
Like good, a little naive there.
Exhibit A.
Real stupid. Yeah.
Okay, did you see on Tuesday night, Max Muncy hit a home run for the Dodgers on his own bobblehead night. Did you see his bobblehead?
No.
Okay. I mean, there's a story behind it, and we'll get into that next. Mason in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN. Today,
picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's Momo in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace, and on Tuesday night at Dodger Stadium, Max Muncy hit a home run on his bobblehead night. And it was, they called it, because it was against the Giants, the get it out of the ocean collectible. In other words, you remember a few years ago when he hit a home run off Madison Bumgarner, and he stared and kind of admired it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bumgarner yelled at him, like, get the F out of the batter's box and stop admiring your home run. And Muncy goes, well, if you want the ball, you got to go out in the ocean and get it. And it so the Dodgers wisely made a get-out-of-the-ocean bobblehead of Muncy posing and pointing like he did that day against the Giants. And they gave it away against the Giants, and then Muncy had a home run, so it turned out good. Ramona, let's say ESPN designed a bobblehead of you. What would you want to be doing? Okay, so example, Michael and I were in at the Warriors game the night.
Yeah,
it was Clay's bobblehead night, and Clay, wherever Clay goes, he brings his bulldog Rocco with him. It's like a running joke. He brings Rocco to practice. Rocco's been on the Warriors plane. Rocco is always with Clay. It's like a big running joke. Mm-hmm. So they put Clay and Rocco together on the bobblehead. It's basically Clay and Rocco hanging out. So ESPN announces it's Ramona Shelburne bobblehead night. They're giving it away. You get to design your own bobblehead. What do you want it doing?
Ooh. I think... I want my bobblehead maybe like on the phone.
I see what I thought would be good would be
on the phone, maybe
on two phones.
Yeah, on two phones.
I think you should have a phone in each ear. And when you hit the bobblehead, it leans one way or the other. And
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So, by the way, you know, now they make some of these bobbleheads where they can make sounds. Like my bobblehead, I would want a headset on, like I was calling a game. And then if you push the button, the button says, why not? For your button, the button should say, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Into that one.
I think these things would be good. Lindsay, what
do you...
You know what?
This is like an existential question for me. Like, how do I see myself? Like, what's the best representation of my... That was like a deep thing. I'm like, if I mention myself on the phone like that, is that like really how I see myself?
That's how I see you. I think I've tried to evolve.
Like, I'm trying to be more of like a, you know, not so down in my head phone person all the time. You know, head down on six phones. Like, I'm trying to be more personality based and like writing and all that. But yeah, I don't know.
I was gonna say, I feel like it would be good to have you with a microphone.
Yeah.
And a phone and like your notepad. Filling out of your pocket.
There you go.
Yeah, that would be good. Lindsay, would you want Chewy to be in yours?
Definitely.
Would you want Chewy to be part of your bobblehead?
But I don't want to steal Clay Thompson's bobblehead idea.
No, but you and Chewy could be doing something different than Clay and Rocco. Clay and Rocco were just kind of laughing.
Oh yeah,
I have one. I'll take a picture of the Clay Rocco bobblehead and send it to you guys. It was a good idea. Now, Jorge, would you have yours pushing a button or kicking a soccer ball? What would you want your bobblehead to
be doing? Nah, man, headset on, my hands up, and the shirt has to say swag system on it.
Ah, swag system. That's awesome. Yeah, that's right. So for people who don't know, tell them what the swag system stands
for. The swag system is the scientific wild-ass guess used for Game of Games.
Yeah. Yes, used for Game of Games. And nice. Jorge, for the first time, won Game of Games outright in the month of June. So it all worked out good.
Yeah, we all know Ramona would not have anything involving Game of Games or a swag system on her bobblehead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not you, Momo.
All right, so you know, Ramona, you were talking about how since the NCAA announced yesterday that you can use your own name and likeness to make money, that the floodgates have kind of opened. And now college athletes are coming up with creative ways already to make money. What's been your favorite one so far? What's the best one you've seen so far?
Well, I mean, I like the gymnast from UCLA. That's awesome. Like she's been gone viral so much. But, you know, there's a good story up on ESPN.com. Like there's the two, they're the Kavinder twins. Okay, I don't know if I'm saying that right. But apparently they're huge on TikTok and they play basketball at Fresno State. They were literally in New York to sign a deal with Boost Mobile on this very first second they could. Okay. Because I think, and Boost Mobile is one of those ones that says, okay, we're going to be taking a lot of powerful, not powerful, but like popular NCAA athletes on TikTok.
Yeah, he
and all
said
those
the Boost CEO says he's got 400 college athletes he wants to partner with.
Yeah, he said a lot of these people are local heroes. We think it's a big opportunity to get regional and local with relevant names in those markets. And it just kind of like, you know, there's a bunch of there's a bunch of other like minor sports people that I guess I just didn't see. Like maybe we're just too old for this, John. We don't understand the like power that YouTubers and TikTokers have.
But did you guys see that they were on the billboard, like that big giant billboard in Times Square?
Yeah.
Well, already here's some examples from that article. A Florida State quarterback, Mackenzie Milton, and Miami quarterback, De'Eric King, signed on as the co-founders of a company called Dreamfield that has athletes pursuing speaking events.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to get these kids paid for speaking. There's a basketball player at Iowa who's doing a paid appearance at an Iowa City Fire workshop this weekend.
Yep.
There's a volleyball player in Nebraska that's selling sweatshirts. She's one of several athletes that have launched their own apparel this week.
Yeah.
Kentucky basketball player Dante Allen, Texas football players DeMarvian Overshawn and Josh Thompson. I mean, so they've already opened it up. Now, and by the way, I think this is good. You're going to hear, these are called NIL deals, name and image likeness deals.
Yeah.
And you'll keep hearing more and more about them.
You want to know what my favorite one is?
Hmm.
So De'Eric King and Bubba Bolden from Miami. They signed deals with a company called College Hunks, and it's College Hunks hauling junk. That's what they do.
Oh.
They like it's like junk removal. Isn't that so funny?
That's good, yeah.
College Hunks hauling junk.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I think that is going to be an open door for college athletes is stuff like Cameo and OnlyFans.
Yeah, totally.
Like Lindsay, you sent me a story today. That girl we talked about a couple of weeks ago says she's made Karina Kompf, K-O-P-F.
Okay.
Says she's made $1 million in 2 days on OnlyFans.
Wow.
So if college athletes do that, they open an OnlyFans thing, I think that it's going to be, I mean, all bets are off, right? I mean, they're going to be able to make, I mean, I don't know if they'll make $1 million. By the way,
Here's a good one. Marshall University offensive lineman Will Ulmer will no longer have to use the alias Lucky Bill or pass up money when he plays live country music in venues near Marshall's campus. Ulmer has been playing music since he was 8, and he told ESPN he hopes to start making money by booking live gigs this summer. He previously was not allowed to promote any of his shows. That's a good one.
I think, and by the way, I think that this is just the beginning. I think this is, you know, name and image likeness is good, but it's going to open the door to some of these guys getting paid to go to college.
Former Notre Dame walk-on football player Mick Asaf says his company Yoke has onboarded hundreds of college athletes since midnight on Thursday. It allows athletes to make money by playing video games with fans.
Yeah. It's going to be creative ways to get paid part one for about a month. And you're going to see more and more and more of these deals. And I'm all for them. I think it's good. I think it's been way too long since these college athletes have been restricted. And I'm glad they're not anymore. All right, coming up next, if someone calls you and asks you for a reference, for example, if someone calls me and says, hey, Ireland, we're thinking about hiring Lindsay Fulton or Ramona Shelburne for a job. What do you think of them?
Ooh.
What's the proper way to handle that? It appears like in the NBA, somebody dropped the ball on this, and we'll explain why coming up next. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.